by General Zod. I think I have that right. I'm not sure. You guys can tell me in the chat. But we have such an exciting episode, you guys. This was crazy, just like Sean Sipo said it would be. We have Ice Goddess Synthona introduced. We have backstory on Jaina and House of Zod that we've all been waiting for. And we have a new character that's going to change the way Krypton does Krypton moving forward. So stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
And she doesn't want no slow song.
There's a purpose to the song. Other than the fact that it's really good.
I can't wait to hear that.
You guys, welcome, welcome. If you don't know, the title of the song is Nice For What, because we kind of finally figure out what the heck is up with Jaina and the Zod family in general, and why they're not usually nice at all. We have some reasoning. I'm still not convinced that this is the way they should be doing life. We have such an exciting episode for you guys to debrief. House of Zod, Sean Sipos, and Cameron Cup did not lie. This was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get started, I'm Steph Sabra. To my left is Anthony.
What up, y'all? As she said, I'm Anthony.
So we have, in this episode, Seg gets a piece of another mystery that's kind of a new mystery introduction to the show, and the show's doing a really good job of introducing different type of mysteries that were like, what the heck, who the heck, and why the heck. So we have the Synthonites and the House of El. Their controversy will hopefully build and we'll get a better understanding of that. We see Jaina Zod's backstory and understand why the Zod family is the way they are. And we have a reveal that will change the future, as everything we know. You guys know what it is. It's crazy. So before we get into that, what was your general...
change the past.
Time traveling for real. Right? What was your general overall thoughts of this episode?
Oh man, I was like, because of the hype of like, you don't want to miss this, you know, that we got from Cameron and also Sean, I was just like, I was waiting for the shoe to drop and I was like, when is this gonna drop? And then it dropped and I was just like it was insane. Oh my god, I can't wait.
And you kind of understand like when they were like, this is the part two of the season, where you're like, whoa, yeah, because now we have two conflicting motives that will change life on Earth as we know it. Superman as we know it. Everything can be changed. But speaking of Sean Sipos and Cameron Cup, if you guys didn't see, we did interview them on Wednesday. It was wonderful. Yeah, Cameron Cup was a surprise guest. So check that interview out.
It was fantastic, guys.
It was awesome.
We also have a little clip for you guys later on.
Oh, yeah. You have that. Okay. So who the heck are the Synthonites and what do they have to do with House of El? We get introduced to them because Seg is while he's captured and is trying to run away from Black Zero type correspondence. He runs into a woman.
Rika,
yes. And he ends up saving her because he's an El and that's what they do.
That's what they do.
Love you guys. And she ends up saying, they end up going back. She leads him to a safe place, which she promises, and he sees his house symbol. What did you think? Did you think that was going to be, I thought it was going to be positive what was going to happen.
I thought it was going to be, I thought he was going to learn more about his past. And in a sense he did, but not, I they didn't show us what was behind that door, right? So it was like, ooh, like it's definitely related to the L's, but I'm not sure exactly how. But then it's like, oh, plot twist. You're an L. Oh, no, we don't like you guys. Yeah.
Which is like a first.
Yeah, there's like a weird social stigma towards them. And they dropped the hints that they've destroyed everything before.
So there are people underground. We don't know why they're really underground. Seg is obviously confused how they're all surviving under these conditions.
Right.
But then we have the Ice Goddess Synthona, which she did an incredible job. She kind of reminded me of the Ice Queen in Narnia. In the Chronicles of Narnia. She had that kind of aesthetic going. Credit to the hair and makeup costume there, because
that hat was wild.
Yes, yeah, she looked so cool and fierce. So,
wait, was that actually like the? That wasn't like the goddess herself, though, right?
Yeah, that was. They said she's the true the true queen of Krypton, I believe, is what they quote. The true mother of Krypton.
Yeah, I remember the true mother of Krypton. But, like, before, like, we have, there has been mentioned that there were seven gods that they used to worship. I don't know. This is my personal side. I didn't take it as she was actual, like, one of the gods or, like, themselves, because I don't think the actual gods exist.
She's They're actually just, like, a comic book character, too. So I was confused. Oh, tell snap. Us what Drop you guys that knowledge. Think.
Yeah. No, I she didn't was. Know that.
If you guys haven't been checking out, Sci-Fi does a really cool segment after their shows. It's Decrypting Krypton. It's on their website, usually right after the show posts, and they give really good insight into usually one or two of the characters in the episode. So then Rika says, he tells Seg that they're protecting something. We don't know what that is. And she also says House of L has the power to destroy everything, and they've done that once before. And we don't know what that is either.
Right.
So what do you got? Do you have any ideas of what that could be? I was thinking, is this the destruction of what led Val to do search for other planets, or did the discovery of life of other planets make him realize that all civilizations are necessary to the, I just don't know. I was trying to be like, what was it, Val's generation? Was it the generation before? What do you have any thoughts on that?
This is wild, because there could be a lot of things going on here. You might have be able to shed more light on it because you know who this character is, but like, speaking on like who they are and what's up with them. So I have a wild one, but also I have a more like logical one, I guess. So I'm thinking, like, since we know that Val has a like a long spanning lineage, it's possible out of all the greats of the L, there could be like one rotten L, you know, that possibly destroyed whatever, like maybe they're from another city. And possibly an L in that city destroyed their city, and now they're just like hunkering down, or I don't know. It's probably something to do with the past, and definitely a past L that really just messed things up for them, and we just don't know about it yet.
Yeah.
It's also possible that, and this is a little wilder, somehow, this is too wild though. I mean, like, I don't know, it's possible they're from a certain future where of an L actually does destroy Krypton and stuff, and they go back in time, and now they're back on. They go back in time to live back in Krypton, on Krypton.
Yeah.
After it was destroyed. So they've seen the destruction that, the possibility of the destruction that an L can create, cause.
Yeah.
But that's a little too wild. I don't know. But
well, two things, and I kind of, you kind of like sparked something in my brain. The first.
Spock.
About what you were, I think that this show does a really great job, and they've talked about this, about personal decisions, and even though people are given their houses and kind of what their roles should be, it's about the personal decisions you make, good or bad, and shaping who you are personally as an individual in society. So it could be on that, like one L did that, and it's about realizing that that's not how all L's are. And then to your second point, that she could be talking about Kal-El, because it, when we discuss further about the two kind of motives moving forward, where their show's going to take be taking, Kal-El isn't the reason Krypton is destroyed, but he's definitely not the reason it wasn't destroyed, you know?
Right.
So that will be crazy. You guys tell me what you guys think in the chat.
Yeah, tell us in the chat, because we want to know what you guys think for sure. And probably, I want to dedicate some time to reading some of those too later on in the show.
Oh, yeah. We will be, as opposed to, I forgot to mention our character corner this week, we will be doing a more in-depth character corner next week. But this week, we're going to be covering Anthony's
Next week? Yeah. We're going to do Zod.
This week, you'll be doing news and gossip and talking about
Our giveaway, and also pretty much. We're going to do like a somewhat of a bridge character corner, because we have a little video on what happens at the end. And then, we're going to do news and gossip with I'm going to go over the giveaway of the Sean Sipos, his hat, and also show you a little clip of our interview on Film Wednesday if you didn't catch it. Also, I linked all that in the description. I'll touch more on that later. And a nice little tweet about from Sean Sipos commenting on the locker room scene that is creating a little bit of buzz around the internet. and I can see why.
Before we close out the Synthonites, the last piece of information we get in this episode on them is the Black Zero correspondence groups, who we later find out who they are, is really pissed at Seg for releasing her, because they say she's apparently the only key to stopping Brainiac.
Rika is, yeah.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, you don't just drop that. That was, yeah, exactly. Well, I believe we have another major player that's been introduced.
Yeah.
In Rika. We'll see how
far. Oh, true.
Yeah, because it sounds like she's going to be super key to this. Is she, do you happen to know if she might be like a comic book character as well, Rika? I don't know.
I don't think she is. I didn't see anything of her, and I don't recall her. Okay. I think the main comic book character would be the Ice Goddess herself, if that is her literal interpretation. But I do believe it is. And then moving on, probably my favorite part of this episode, maybe my favorite part of the season, was the backstory of House of Zod, Jaina Zod, and Ogbomo, I believe is how you pronounce her last name. She was also in Wonder Woman, if you guys don't know, and she is just all season has been incredible, but even now to see her character depth in such a harsh role is pretty crazy. I mean, she's not that dramatic, she's not doing all these theatrics, but you feel so much in her role. We see different flashbacks of her childhood with her father, who is so ruthless, and basically, I do have a quote. He said, "What makes a Zod?" Well, the intro of the show.
The intro I wrote
says,
a couple.
"What makes a Zod? Blood, courage, honor, and loyalty to the state are without equal and without question. Honor above all, even above family." And then
family,
she left her
her
brother in the Arctic cold.
Yeah.
Did you? I have conflicting thoughts about House of Zod's ways.
Oh yeah.
And I'll get into that more during Lyta's. The decision for Jaina to help out Lyta, but what was your feelings about this scene? Did you like this background story? Do you think it's important for Krypton's series in general?
I'll touch upon it as like the overall arc for Jaina. I loved it. It was really fantastic to see that background. I didn't know if I needed it or not, but I'm glad I got it for sure. Yeah, the Zods definitely come from, they're like made from stone. They're like, you know, they're bred, they're like warriors. So not only do they have to be physically like stone on the outside, but they also have to be mentally stone. Like they have to keep all emotion in check. And like you said, honor is everything to them. And I just want to point out, like, what did it for me was that scene when she's looking in the mirror. Oh, like that scene when she's looking in the mirror, and then that's where it goes into her first flashback scene. I just thought that was just such a powerful scene for me, because like mirrors, it's pretty much introspection, you know, her reflecting on her past, but like just that shot and everything, like you can see like the depth of her emotion, but like still not showing complete like worried on her face. It's like a certain look that she gives where she's like, she's in deep contemplation, but it's not like, it's not good contemplation. You know, you could be like, she's like very solemn look. But yeah, she's becoming a character I'm really enjoying, because I always love characters that are like, who stick to their code, you know, which is their honor. And like, and I love someone that has such a strict code, because I love seeing what happens when they're like, when they're forced to break it. Like when they're like, when like you have a pencil and it's about to snap and you know it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what she was going through this episode. Her pencil was about to snap. And I think luckily it didn't completely. When we see like the execution scene, I thought she was going to like jump up and do some crazy stuff, but no, it was very subtle. But she definitely snapped in a different way when she tells Lyta that you were my greatest love and now you're my greatest shame. I believe. I was like, oh,
we'll definitely touch on that. That was crazy. That was hard. But it's interesting that you bring up the code, and I'll just get into it now. The issue I have is kind of their understanding of their own code, I find a little bit contradictory, because those final scenes, that final scene before Lyta's execution, she's running through her head the line, Zod's bow to no one. Kneel before no one. They kneel before no one. And to me, that should have been a turning point in her head. Like, I, as a Zod, have been kind of doing this wrong. I don't need to kneel to someone. I need to make, I am a person protecting Krypton and Krypton first. So I don't need to, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to kneel to someone if I'm making the right decision. She knows Light is innocent. She knows she didn't commit treason. She knows that her only daughter might be executed because of a lie and a tyrant.
Right.
So to me, it's like, I feel like that should have been the turning point where it's like, that's not what House of Zod should represent. We should represent, like, loyalty to the state, kneeling to no one, and that even means a ruler that's horrible.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And this is why it's, like, a little ironic, because everything that's happening in front of her has no honor in it whatsoever. It's going against everything, like, she is, like, her house is about.
Yes!
And it's, like, so frustrating, and I love that scene, too, like, right before. And it starts off with the close-up on Jaina, and it pulls back slowly. And it's kind of like, you can see, like, her thoughts, in a sense, are, like, unraveling. Because you see, and then you hear that whole honor above everything echoed again. And it's just, for me, that was such a powerful scene. Because, like, she's just going, like, she can't do anything about it. And I just feel like she's so stiff. That's why I thought, like, she was going to just jump. And, like, because, like, it's so frustrating to see this happening in front of her.
Yes.
But, like, she's honoring a system that has no honor in what it's doing at that point in time. And it's just so sad, in a sense. You know?
I agree. And I think her and I've said this before, I think her and Nyssa share similar kind of character development and complexities, in that they find themselves tied to what their house is supposed to represent, and the Vexes being winning above all, power above all, like using, being like powerful and smart and witty and manipulative, and House Zod, which is loyalty to the state and kneeling before no one, as we saw. But I see them both conflicting in that. With Nyssa, we have her having feelings towards Seg, which Darren calls her out for.
Yeah.
And Jaina is obviously, her daughter does come first.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see if they'll start breaking from their own ties. Nyssa already has. I mean, she went against what her father's wishes were.
Yeah.
Do you think that Nyssa and Jaina are kind of done with their business from now on? Or do you think they're going to, now that they're hooked, they're going to continue? Because I feel like Jaina is going to realize that she'd rather work with Nyssa than with Darren.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Can you expand on, like, what do you mean they're done?
So, I know Jaina is so annoyed and upset to the core that she had to make this deal, which she calls Lyta her biggest shame. Do you think now she's in this deal to support the Vexes?
Right.
Do you think that she's going to, how do you think she's going to go about working with the Vexes? Is she going to, I feel like she will go with Nyssa more. She'll learn that Darren is kind of, like, Nyssa can be movable, whereas right. Darren is a jerk.
Right. So pretty much, how is Jaina going to navigate possibly working with the Vexes now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that she's forced to, I think. I see reason in what you're saying, as in, like, she'll probably side more with what Nyssa offers. I totally see that happening, because of how the way this show is and how strong the women characters are on here, that they kind of do show, like, more of a sense of kinship than the men have. And I could totally see that happening. But I can also see Darren, like, being his, like, same, like, douchey self, and, like, maybe trying to force things upon her. But I don't know. We might be seeing the same thing that we've been seeing, how Darren pushes him a little too much, while Nyssa is there to, like, hey, it's okay. Like, we're doing this for a good cause, you know. Like, she's more of, like, the softer appeal, while he's more like the forceful appeal.
Yeah.
So we could probably see more of that, and then how she reacts to that. She's definitely not gonna like it from Darren. And so you could see that Nyssa will appeal to her more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I can see Jaina going to Nyssa more.
Okay, so we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
Before we move on to kind of how House Vex plays into this and the decision to not execute my personal favorite character, Lyta, can you tell us about some positive news?
Yeah, actually, there's a new house in the world of Krypton. It's actually the house the House of Menounos.
Oh!
The House of M. Yeah, if for anyone out there that wants to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, we have the perfect podcast that's just for you, okay? It's the Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. It's hosted by our very own AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversation with Maria Menounos, it features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister that you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know who it was that sent you there, which was the Kryptons,
the
right?
The Kryptons.
The super after show here on AfterBuzz TV. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out every Friday. And guess what? It's free.
Yeah, check it out, you guys. It's going to be so awesome. I actually am going to have the opportunity to be a part of the segment tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, we won't be talking Krypton, unfortunately. Ooh. But even so, anything with Maria is I'm all for. So you guys should definitely check that out.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out. Yeah, that's awesome.
So moving back to our Kryptonian universe.
All right,
This is where things really begin to escalate, mm-hmm. where escalate and execute almost. I was freaked out. I thought Lyta might go, like, for real.
That would have been insane.
It would have been insane. But it was. I thought that Jaina wasn't going to pick her because we saw the backstory and we saw what she did with her brother and stuff. So
yeah, I think the show was trying to give us a nice little swerve there,
mm-hmm.
because but again, you know, Lyta's gonna make it, but
yeah, thank God.
Yeah, but I like that little like trying to set up that red herring for sure of like, you know, what she's just like looking at her and everything.
Yeah. So
it was intense.
So Jaina is resistant to the idea of conspiring against Rao because of who she is and working with Darren and Nyssa Vex, because we obviously know what their intentions are.
Right.
But even though she lets Lyta, she ends up working with them to save her daughter. And then, like you said, says that she's her greatest love and now her greatest shame, yeah. Which is so mean.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Their relationship is so complex and crazy to watch mm-hmm. unfold, and crazy to see how that ends up creating her son, which we soon find out.
Real quick, I want to touch on two things too.
Yeah.
I love that shot when Lyta, right before it's gonna happen, she looks over to Jaina and she gives her salute, and then I was just like, oh, like, it was really sweet. It was a sweet moment for me. And then Jaina just like stone face, like she's worried, but she's just like, And,
but I thought she was going to give it back.
No, yeah, I thought so too, but she's like, nope.
She left her hanging.
Straight up.
But it was a really cool scene.
Yeah. And then the other thing I would like to touch on was that it's really nice to see this like completely gender reversal, because like this is not something you see with women. You don't see like a really strong commander in charge. That's a Primus in charge. Like a Primus, sort of like, you know, the equivalent of what Primus could be on anything else,
mm-hmm.
is usually going to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
I could see like a man with a daughter trying to be strong, but like a mother with a daughter trying to be strong in this world. It's just so cool to watch. I can't stress that enough.
I love that you brought that up. Respect. Because they do such a good job on the show of not just making it like unrealistic, like, oh, they're just women, but we're going to make them the strong ones, but not develop it. They really do a good job of showing like they've perfected their battle skills, mm-hmm. their fighting skills, their mentality, so that no one wants to mess with them. Yeah. I mean, I definitely wouldn't, and I don't know a man that would mess with them.
And although I haven't seen that much like media being portrayed on like Krypton, like what do they watch for TV, or like do they have advertisements, do they have ads, like, because if they do, I want to see like how women are portrayed in that too, because mm-hmm. like in our society, like in our society and in ads, like women are portrayed as just sex symbols. Like you just see like, you know, women's legs on like things, maybe sporting like a new shaver, but you never see the woman's face. Like I want to see that kind of side to Krypton as well, like on that issue of like how, because it seems like early off they're like, oh no, we're all equal, like no, women are just as powerful as men.
Yeah,
they're not just sex symbols or anything like that, you know, like they're not I don't know. I just found that whole side to be so interesting to me.
Cheers to Anthony, you guys. That's a real man right there. I love that. I love you for that. I totally agree. We don't get to see women like this in such powerful positions where you don't really question their power because it shows. And it's written like that and it's acted like that.
And it's been like this since the beginning. Like, look at, like, the first one to go from parent, from like sex parents was his mother, you know? While his dad was like, no, stay back, stay back. Like, the dad was the one who kind of like sacrificed himself afterwards. When usually you see that it's like the mother like acting out of emotion, just like, no, like the father's dead, and then ends up dying. Like, look at the start of like, what's it called? That's a different point. Sorry. But yeah, I just like, really appreciate that. Yeah. And I appreciated it the most in this episode.
I totally agree. So before we get to the next step and the final step of this crazy, crazy episode, if you guys are on YouTube, make sure that after this video ends, you comment below because the chat won't save. Let us know your questions and make sure you're liking this video. Any advice you guys want to give, constructive criticism, we love. If you're listening on iTunes, make sure you rate us 5 stars if you want and leave us a comment, whatever you guys want to talk to us about, tweet us. You know we're available to talk and we love talking. And Krypton, so hit us up. Moving on, we have Lita taking.
Oh, sorry, just real quick. Yes. People who are watching right now and who do have iTunes, I added the link that goes straight to the iTunes page for this show in our description and on YouTube. So if you look at it, I made it pretty dang clear where it's at, and you just highlight that, put it in your search bar, and it will take you straight there to the iTunes page for this show, so it can make it easier for you guys to rate and comment and all that.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for putting that there. Sometimes people get confused, but...
Yeah, make it easier as possible, yeah.
So then we have Lyta find... As soon as she gets told she's not going to die, she finds out that Seg is missing. Adam has been warning that something's not right, but no one seems to listen. Adam and Kem actually had a really funny scene together where they talk about, like, oh, you want me to just put, like, fingers up my butt?
Yeah, he's like, I'm not just waiting around this, like with my thumb up my butt.
Oh, yeah,
like,
thumb up my butt.
Yeah,
well, you said never ass, used that term. So
really,
okay. And then Kem like, just was like
twiddling your thumbs, the same kind of.
Yeah,
like,
I understood it. Okay, I'm not a Krypton. For those of you, I'm not from Krypton. I'm not like Kem, where he's like, "Why would you do that?" I love that little like comic book humor that they throw in. So she instantly does calls an unauthorized mission to find Seg and save him. They are
recruits Lieutenant Ty, I believe.
Yeah, I believe that's his name. And they pick up Seg's trail, but they realize that Seg's gone. They're able to follow footsteps, I believe, into the place where Seg keeps being taken back for torturing.
I know, right?
And Lyta gives him the biggest smooch ever when she first sees him.
Oh, yeah, that was nice.
That was so cute. But we also have
her second kiss of the episode.
I was just going to say, we have a conflicting love triangle going. Triangle alert.
Yeah, are we going to touch on that?
Yeah.
With Dev and Lyta?
Yeah, I guess we can touch on that right now.
Real quick? Yeah, sidebar, guys.
She does love him, but it sounded like a but.
But?
It sounded like, I love you, but I'm not going to say but because I feel bad for you and I know I have to end up with you because Seg's a lost cause. He already has his baby planted.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... Yeah, I didn't think about the butt part. Yeah, you're right.
Didn't it sound like there was, like, I love you?
By the way, that sounds weird, the butt part. Sorry.
Grow up.
But yeah. what I found interesting was that she kissed him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh. Like, he didn't go for it. She's, like, straight.
I love Lyta. I was telling you guys. She is a movement.
I believe that's... That's actually a really good point you make. Yeah, she's a accurate portrayal of, like, this... I believe it's... What are we on now? Like, this feels like the fifth or sixth wave of feminism right now. And I guess you can argue that it's portrayed through this character. Like, why not? Like, why not? Why can't she have two lovers?
Yeah, and not only that, the course of this episode is completely changed by her offspring in the future. I mean, the whole show is going to be changed by Lyta and her child. Right. So
any thoughts on, like, Lyta and Dev before we get back on track?
I think that they're good for each other by their society standards and kind of what has to happen. If she has to date anyone in the Sagittarii, then I would. He seems to, like, actually care and love for her. Mm-hmm. And he does even break some of his codes for her, which I know as a Sagittarii, like, you wouldn't necessarily do. So I respect his relationship with her. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Seg and Lyta have this chemistry that's just, off the charts.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, I feel, they do work really well as a couple, Dev and Lyta. They definitely make a really great power couple, and they would definitely have a great life together. Although, I feel like, although it's a great life, Lyta will always have in the back of her head her feelings for Seg, because they're just so powerful.
It's like a notebook when the mom didn't take the guy, the construction worker. You might not know the reference.
Notebook.
It's a romance reference, but it's real and it's been done before, but not like this. Marissa, our fabulous engineer, she said, "I get it."
I've seen the ending.
So then moving on to her real love, unfortunately, is Seg. She gives him a big smoocheroo, which was such a better kiss than the one she had before.
I didn't really think about it, but that's a great point. That was passion.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
The other one was just like, this guy's so sweet. And a kiss. Yeah. You know, like,
they barely touched lips.
It was more like a, oh, honey. Like,
I paused on it and I was like, are they even touching lips?
So Dev got the pity kiss and then Seg got the passionate smooch. Kiss. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kiss,
yeah. Saliva was swapped.
Swapped.
And then she goes back to be the hero that she is of this episode, where she ends up running into...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And straight up just guns down that one person.
Like, yeah, she is just fierce.
Drops to the ground.
She ends up running into him and, she ends up fighting this guy, and it's a very equal battle, and you can tell the guy is very surprised. This Black Zero correspondent that we didn't know yet.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's kind of confused, like, how is this woman who looks petite but is powerful as heck fighting and competing with me? And then you see the reveal of his necklace, which we saw Jaina's dad reveal earlier, which is like an indestructible sign of their family, an heirloom. And this is when the big reveal happens. Were you expecting that this was going to be General Zod? You guys, tell me if you guys were expecting this at all. And what were your thoughts?
I had fallen into the hole that I saw online. It was like, oh yeah, that's definitely Lyta's father. It's so obvious. I saw that comment so many times. It's so obvious that's her father. They don't talk about the father. It has to be her father. And then I'm just like, in my face, in everyone else's face who thought that, in your face, just step back and laugh at yourself, because you were so wrong.
So wrong.
My God. So the big reveal is, it's pretty much, it's General Zod. It's the Zod that we know. The Zod from the future. It's Lyta's son.
Yes. Lyta's son.
Goodness.
And I do have a cool kind of like background quote. I just couldn't say it better than the actual showrunner, Cameron Welsh, said. Adam came to Crypt, and this is kind of him describing what General Zod means for this episode and this show moving forward. And he says, Adam came to Krypton with a very specific message to Seg. Superman's very existence is under threat, and we have to stop Brainiac. But we all know Brainiac was always coming to take Kandor City. That's what Adam Strange got wrong. And then it says, that is to say, Brainiac isn't any more of a threat to the planet than he was before the show story began, which is true. And instead, it's Zod who is trying to alter Krypton's history, but not to destroy Krypton, but to save it. And this is where things really get tricky, because this is the differing motives that we have. We have Adam Strange, who's trying to fulfill, like, the planet Earth's prophecy of having the most powerful superhero ever. And then we have General Zod, who's trying to change the demise of Krypton.
Right. It seems like they both want the same thing, right? Or am I crazy?
No, they don't. General Zod knows that Krypton later is supposed to be destroyed, and that's how we get Kal-El.
Right.
He is coming back and doing more time traveling, which I love how this show has this time traveling twist, and is trying to save Krypton from ever destroying itself. So he's coming with the intentions, I believe, to alter the way Krypton is doing Krypton right now, which means like the way it's governing itself,
the way it's understanding the outer world. That went a little over my head. Okay.
Outer galaxy.
Just to reiterate. So yeah. So General Zod wants to keep Krypton alive.
Yes.
Doctor Strange. Adam Strange wants to make sure everything is supposed to happen in history that's supposed to go down.
Yes.
Which means all-encompassing Krypton does have to get destroyed.
Yes. Exactly. So the conflict that emerges shapes the second half of the season, which Cameron Cuff and Sean Sipos both said. So, for instance, when Adam Strange realizes that he was wrong and that Zod is seeking to alter the future, this is what he's saying is going to happen, I believe, tries to convince Seg that history needs to play out according to plan, like you just mentioned, and his planet needs to die for Kal-El to survive. And if Krypton survives, then Kal-El never would have become Superman,
And it's so ironic because, like, the fact is that, like, Adam Strange is going back to make sure that everything goes according to plan. Like, isn't that already messing up what's supposed to happen? But then that means that he's actually a part of the plan all along.
Yes.
So it's the whole, like, reverse again, the whole time travel loop thing happening. Yes. But, I mean, either way, that's still pretty cool.
And we do have a cool video from Colin Salmon, who plays General Zod in Krypton.
Uh-huh.
Right? We have that pulled up for...
Yeah, we do. That's more for... It was going to be our abridged version of our character corner.
Okay, we can bring that up later. But he... Welsh warns us, the showrunner, that we know Zod as a villain, but the character who shows up in Krypton's past won't act like the villain that most fans know, primarily because he doesn't need to be for now. So the version of Zod is, he says, the version of Zod will be similar to Michael Shannon's iteration of the character in The Man of Steel, as he feels extremely duty-bound to his planet. So that's really crazy and cool to learn that it's more than Brainiac. This is about changing history.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting because I believe in the regular iterations, Zod blames Superman. Like, Zod blames Els for the destruction of Krypton.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm super curious to see what happened. Like, what shaped him to make him want to save Krypton like this? Because
maybe
it's
it was
definitely...
being sent to the Phantom Zone for eternity.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, you have a lot of time to think and really, think about your wrongdoings. This has me at a loss. I just know what I'm thinking in my head right now is just like, I think Zod and Adam are going to come to a head for sure because of their opposing views.
Totally.
But you know, Adam Strange, Zod, but in the middle you have Seg. So it's like they're gonna like tear him apart somehow.
It's gonna be crazy.
Or maybe they can use him to a certain point, you know.
Yeah, no, I think maybe. That's good. This is what this show is building up to, is this sort of extra dynamic that was kind of necessary for a show of this background in history. But before we wrap up with some predictions and close off this episode, we do have some fun things to share.
Yeah. I did want to touch on that locker room scene, but I think we can touch on it with news and gossip.
Yeah,
so
that
we'll
be
just wait for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. So so what's the segment we're doing right now? The character?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I was just a little off. All right, cool. Yeah. Real quick, we don't have essentially a character corner this week, which is fine because I want you guys, the fans, to help me out. So pretty much the character corner is gonna be it's gonna be on Drew Zod, which is who's revealed at the end of this character. Okay, so it's a huge reveal, guys. So but we don't know anything about him from the show too much, other than that he seems to be somewhat of a good
guy. He's supposedly Superman's greatest villain ever.
Yeah, one of his arch nemesis, right? But yeah, so for all you who are in chat right now, I see you guys, Sky Patterson, Ivan Soto. I would love you guys and everyone else there who would love to participate. It's gonna be like a group character corner in a sense. You just comment down below on not in the live chat, but once after the fact, leave your comments so I can see them later. And yeah, just give me all the information that you would love to give me on Zod. And I'll do my own information as well. And whoever gives me certain information, I'll shout out who gave me that sort of info. And I feel it'd be like cool little amalgamation of like the fans plus me doing this like cool character corner on this huge this is such a huge character for the show. So I would love to have your guys' participation to help me out and like explain this character and do him justice.
And the conflicting differences, like you mentioned, of like the comic book version and the Krypton version.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. Yeah, exactly. So like, how do you think he's going to be different from the regular comics? Like, we already know he's somewhat good, but like, how good is he really? Or what are his motives? Like, yeah, give us all your speculation about him too. And we'll have a nice beefy character corner next week for you. And I think yes, that'd be awesome. But for now, we do have this video on the big review of the episode. And it was released by Sci-Fi themselves. And it's on their Sci-Fi YouTube channel. And yeah, let's give that a look. Oh, nice little music. The big reveal.
We don't have much time.
Boom, there it is.
Money's going to explode in 200 years. It's so calling. Personally, I'll do any means necessary.
Keep oh, my Krypton goodness. Alive. It's our I haven't duty seen that yet.
To defend our city.
So it looks like they're like world teaming up right
end
there.
End up in a hand-to-hand fight with an incredibly dexterous warrior.
Mm-hmm. That fight scene was so cool too, by the way. So fast. Like you can hear like a bone crack at one point. Like,
oh. There's a really, really simple reason as to why she is as good as I am, or as I am as good as her. The cliffhanger becomes clear at the end when I realize who she is.
It's you.
Mm. Get him, Lyda.
And she realizes who I am.
Who gave you that?
You did. I'm your son.
Ooh.
It's quite a moment.
It's quite a moment. All right, and that's about it.
If I have a son that visits me from the future and that's how you present yourself, best believe you'll never
you
be my son.
You just keep punching him? You just be like...
I will never take ownership of you.
That's funny. So yeah, that's just like quick the bridged version. I guess the character... It's more of an intro as to our character corner for next week, yeah. But yeah, we wanted to show that. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool to see him behind the scenes because I've seen a lot of Cameron Cuff and Sean Sipos and even... Lyda Zod and the Zods in general, but this is a new character, so seeing him off screen is really fun.
Yep. All right, so now let's get into some, what are we on, news?
Well, no, yeah, give them the announcement, the giveaway.
Right, yeah, we can do that in news.
Now it's time for some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, guys. So I did a little retouching on what it takes to win the hat. So as you can see, we do have a picture of the hat itself. So we had Sean Sipos in for our interview, and I bought the Detroit hat. I was able to find it online, and I got him to sign it, and it's freaking cool. It says Sean Sipos, and it says in quotation marks "Strange" at the bottom. I thought it was really nice. So yeah, that's locked away in the fortress of Tonitude, which is my room. And so pretty much there's new details as to how to win this hat. So we're actually going to reveal the winner of the hat at the end of this season. So on our last after show, we'll reveal the winner. But how to win it. So you look at our YouTube description for this video, and I actually laid out the simple steps of how to do that. So we want people to go on iTunes and to rate and subscribe there, and also leave a comment with your name, some sort of name where we can reach you, whether it be social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or you can also email us there as well. But it does have to be in the comment section of your rate. So along with those, hopefully those 5 stars that you give us, leave a comment with where to reach you, and we'll pick a winner at random. And so that's the gist of the details. But look at our description.
Well, the winner
there
won't be picked at random, but we'll pick from your.
We'll pick from the comments for sure. Yeah, and so if you want to read up on it more, just look at our description. Also included the link again to the iTunes page, so you can do that right away if you want to. And at the end of this after show season, we'll reveal the winner. And some lucky person is going to get that shot, that hat, get a shot of that hat. So, yeah.
And while we're on talking about fans and fan shout-outs, can we want to give a few fan shout-outs today.
Oh, yeah, of course. So, we got some few fan shout-outs to do. So, we got Andrew Martin. He's always coming through on the weeks. He always comments and everything. Great, great dude. We got Nella J. She always hits us, or he always hits us with like great, questions as well. And we also have Kenneth Sumita and Daphne Jean, who was a huge fan of Sean Sleepers.
We love you guys. We love all you guys in the comments, in the chat. You guys rock.
Yes, thank you so much for that. And, yeah, so apart from that, we also have a... We just want to share a little excerpt from our interview that was on Wednesday, in case you guys weren't aware. We just wanted to share, like, a little soundbite to see what you guys missed out on. And you can totally... go back and watch this interview that's also linked in the description of this show as well.
And they want things one way.
So she's setting up the question.
So that's great to hear. I did want to ask you guys, so I know that some fans were kind of maybe a little bit skeptic about Krypton, as it doesn't really feature Superman, but the history before it and the reason why we do have a Superman. What do you think is resonating with the fans? Why do you think it's becoming such a loved show? Other than you guys, of course.
I think because everyone takes great pride in what they are. And we're telling a compelling story. And it is modern day mythology. So I think that people can watch it and they can connect with it. And we're also dealing with some social issues. That I think that when you're on a different planet, it is easier to look at. It's not so people aren't taking offense. They're able to see it objectively and go, oh... look at how they get along. Look at how they're able to deal with these issues. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that it's that in any way that the writers or we are doing it.
Cool little sound clip.
And that actually plays perfectly into. The interview was great. They were such great guys, so sweet. But our little bit of gossip was actually a tweet from Sean, and I had seen some questions in the previous video asking, are we not going to go over the locker room scene?
I just told Ivan right now. He's like, we got you.
In this episode, and we do, what I mean by locker room scene, we see Sean, aka Adam Strange, check out one of the Sagittari, which I do not blame
him. Check out his butt.
For checking
and
him out.
And they show his butt. They show
very handsome.
Dude butt. They show the whole thing.
They do, and I think people nice were a little bit shook by that. So Sean Sipos, I assume, was getting a lot of questions about this, and he tweeted, and to quote, he said, been getting some messages regarding this, so to clarify, Krypton defies gender, race, and sexual orientation because it is an advanced civilization. Yes, there are the have and have nots, but all the other shallow labels have been shed long ago. Mm-hmm. The real question
shallow
is,
labels.
Why haven't we? Sean Sipos, everyone, like he was speaking about in our interview with him, this is a show that not only is a world builder of Krypton, but it's touching on real life issues with politics, with gender, with sexuality, with
and it's just,
race.
And it's just like it's just like a cool example of like what could be, you know, if we just like if we just address those simple, like at least started somewhere with those simple little, with those not little issues, but like with those issues, just look at where we could have been now, but instead we're looking at it through a TV screen. And I'm wondering why can't we have that?
Totally. Yeah. And obviously Krypton has its fair share of other issues in terms of religion and this kind of tyranny ruler. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to see what is working in a society and what is not. And from an outside perspective, not caring, not concerning yourself with what someone identifies with, who they choose to love or what they choose to be or what they were born as should be a given. And I love that both of those of the guys that we had here, and I'm sure the whole show in general feels that way. So it's amazing to see done in a sci-fi show, which comics have always been the leveler of the bringer about of things in society that a lot of people didn't want to touch on. I mean, since the beginning of time with comics, even like V for Vendetta, those types of comics where you see really important issues touched in this
great name drop
crazy sort of little boxes. We just are big comic fans and big Krypton fans for this. But I guess now we should get into some. Do you have anything else?
No. sorry. No, I just wanted to say, it's really cool how, like, instead of being judged off of, like, those, shallow labels, they're based off of their societal status and what they have to do, what's their place in society, you know? Because they don't have, like, oh, like, you know, you are homosexual or whatever. It's more like, oh, no, you were part of the science guild or you're part of the rank list.
Yeah, which is equally weird, but every society has their own sort of negatives.
Right.
But let's get into some predictions.
Predictions. Okay. You want, all right, so just like general overall.
Yeah, just quick.
Okay, so like I have a feeling that Zod and Adam are definitely gonna come into conflict because I feel like the show's setting up some sort of like ragtag team, you know. Mm-hmm. Like we have, so far, who do we have? We have Seg, of course. Then we have Kim, we have Adam, and then I'm sure Val sort of ish. Yeah, you're right. And then we also have Lyta, who's joining the game, and possibly I guess we lost her already. Rika, what's gonna be her role in this? And also now we have Lyta's son, which is Zod, the main Zod, the Zod we all know and love. Mm-hmm. So like, I feel like they're all gonna come together to work together to a certain extent, though. But I'm not sure because it's gonna go well for a bit, and then there's gonna be something that definitely drops a ball, and then they're gonna split apart. And I think that's where it's gonna be very tough to see who sides with who, because it's possible that Lyta might side with Zod, knowing that that's her son.
Yeah,
like that's definitely gonna play.
Well, that's what head games too. That's my prediction. I think things are gonna start like really getting weird, and sides are gonna be chosen, because I think the introduction of General Zod and the age he is. And at the same time, the conflicting drama that's going on with and has been going on with Jaina and Lyta, I feel like this is a turning point for Lyta, where she could be turning to General Zod as more of an almost father figure at this point because of his age. He is old enough to be her father. So I think that will happen. You guys, we have to wrap up, but make sure to join, like, subscribe, comment, and join us next Sunday for episode 6, Civil Wars. This is where Seg-El is faced with an impossible choice that could, this is what they said, they could not just shape not just the El legacy, but the fate of the universe itself, and that will be aired Wednesday on Sci-Fi. I'm Steph Sabra. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra. Thank you guys so much for joining us, Anthony.
It's also interesting real quick that it says Civil Wars, so yes. There's more than one war. So it might be infighting within our little group here. So who knows? We might lose some people. Lines will be drawn across the sand.
Things are happening.
Things are happening, and I can't wait to watch those things happen. And my name is Anthony Becerra. You can find me everywhere at TonyBTony_. Again, it's Tony with the little B, Tony _. And I'm going to keep being Tony until next week, y'all. See ya. Bye-bye. Stay super.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.